Is there a connection between the wild presidential contest and the stock market? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Stocks were slumping in early trading. They were worse in Europe earlier today. Let's try to understand some of the psychology here by turning to Julian Emanuel, Executive Director, U.S. Equity and Derivative Strategy at UBS Securities here in New York. Good morning, Julian.
Good morning, David.
Well, we had this nice rally in February. I'm not sure what's exactly happening today.
Well, look, when we were at the lows in February, the potential for a recession in the minds of investors was very high, in excess of 50%. But what we found is the economy is actually stronger than we thought, whether it was the jobs report last week, a manufacturing sector that continues to at least stabilize, and continued consumer confidence. We've discounted the fact that a recession is not likely in the near future.
So the clearing up of some economic uncertainty, but there seems to be some general uncertainty, at least today. What are some of the reasons, you think?
There's certainly the idea that the European Central Bank has promised a lot in terms of monetary ease. And so when they meet later this week, that's been baked in. And so there is the potential for disappointment. But we also can't discount the fact that politics in the U.S. has certainly, if anything, caused more uncertainty and a bit of investor confusion. And we have to remember that markets don't move in a straight line. So it's been a very good run the last several weeks. And a pause is a normal occurrence at this point.
Yeah, because if you ask who is the next president of the United States, that is unanswerable at this point. All right, Julian Emanuel at UBS Securities. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Now, here's how you get through the winter in the Northern Hemisphere. First, Super Bowl, then the Oscars, then March Madness, and finally, in April, Warren Buffett's big annual meeting. For the first time, the annual investor extravaganza of Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway company will be streaming live from Omaha over Yahoo Finance, Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
The event will also be broadcast in Mandarin to include a huge group of Buffett followers and shareholders. Ben Schachter of Macquarie Securities says the live stream is a coup for the Yahoo Finance team, but even with the company running advertising.
Unfortunately, I think these things are all interesting that they can generate some money, but it's not really going to matter much in the overall scheme of things.
To the fortunes of Yahoo as a whole. But it will matter to tens of thousands of Warren Buffett fans. Donna Dudney is one of them. She's a professor of finance at the University of Nebraska and a regular at the Berkshire Hathaway event.
Last year when I went to the meeting, it was completely full in the arena and there was streaming to overflow rooms, but still, it was just at capacity.
She says a live broadcast makes sense. She says many attendees are decades younger than Buffett, and they soak up his answers during the hours-long Q&A.
I'm always amazed at how much of a rock star he is to 19 to 21-year-olds.
I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And it's a software company, a media company, a phone company. The conglomerate known as SoftBank of Japan said today it is splitting itself into two. One part will be its Japanese stuff, slower growing. Part two will be everything else, including the U.S. mobile phone company Sprint and its piece of the Chinese e-commerce company Alibaba. A veteran of Google will run the overseas chunk of SoftBank now. Since the 1990s, traditional investment advisors have faced competition from do-it-yourself online trading. Now they have a bit of a new challenge, a push to use technology to harness the so-called wisdom of the crowd to make stock picks. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has the story.
Many investors are already phasing out the human touch, shunning mutual funds for ETFs, exchange-traded funds, where managers pick an index of stocks that follow a sector.
The reason why you've seen the outflows in mutual funds and inflows into the ETFs is because the mutual fund structure is not working, plain and simple.
Martin Mikus wants to remove the experts from the ETF process as well. His startup, CrowdInvest, picks the stocks for an ETF based on input from regular people.
Any index that's out there that's decided by a small group of people, I think, can be better dressed by using the wisdom of the crowd.
With the idea that a crowd, even an uninformed one, will be smarter than an individual fund manager. There's an opening for companies like this because millennials are shunning traditional investing, just as they are coming into money. Jim Weddle is the managing partner at Edward Jones Investments, which works mainly with baby boomers.
there is going to be a $35 to $40 trillion transfer of wealth between that generation and their sons, their daughters, and their grandchildren.
He says the siphoning off of those kids by online competitors has been a bit of a kick in the pants. His agents are trying to build relationships early, meeting with the children of clients when they're home visiting from college. At SageVest Wealth Management in McLean, Virginia, most of the clients are older as well. They come for advice on things like how to invest their retirement portfolios. The same services offered online and cheaper by so-called robo-advisors. Jennifer Myers is president of the company.
And I think it's helping to fulfill a market void, and I'm happy that it's there. But I just think investors need to be educated whether or not it's appropriate for them.
She compares robo-advisors to tax-preparing software. It pushed some human tax preparers out, but only really works well if your situation is pretty simple. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
And before we go, trading in the stock of the big Chinese telecommunications equipment maker ZTE was suspended today after allegations it broke the U.S. trade embargo on Iran. But later there was confirmation that the U.S. is in fact applying trade sanctions on ZTE, which sells about a tenth of the telecom equipment around the world. The company says it's cooperating with U.S. investigators but will appeal the sanctions. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.